In today's podcast, I'm joined by two lovely ladies who play a leading role in transport fleet management. Joining me from Lagos, Nigeria, is Simisola Elegba, who is the bus systems engineer at Lagos Metropolitan Transport Authority, also known as LAMATA. In South Africa, we have Wisile Majola, the former head of business at South African National Taxi Council, also known as SANTACO, but now she sits as the CEO of an investment company subsidizing transport called Umunye Capital. Welcome to you both, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me to discuss the importance of electrifying buses and minibus taxis in Africa. Let's kickstart the conversation. A question for you, Simisola. What is the intention behind electrifying buses and minibus taxis in Africa?
Thank you, Anazi, for having me on board. As we know, mobility is key for economic development. However, majority of our mobility needs are met by fossil-driven transportation. These contribute to air pollution, health issues, climate change, and are all-round not sustainable. Electrification of buses and minibus taxis would result in more sustainable ways of meeting mobility needs, thereby mitigating the effect on the climate and environmental and health as hazards. Electric vehicles also have been seen or proven to be more effective and cost effective in the long term, especially as volume increases. Thank you.
Thank you, Simisola. With the current electric vehicle adoption rate in South Africa, Wisile, would you say there is a clear demand for electric fleets for the rest of the continent?
Thank you very much for that question, Anazi. I think in the Smart Mobility Africa, I think it was 2019, I think I was a bit controversial when we were talking about electric vehicles specifically in the public transport space. And I made the analogy that expecting the taxi industry to adopt electric vehicles is similar to giving a hungry person cheese instead of a slice of bread. And I think with the demand for electric vehicles in South Africa being so low, specifically in the middle class and in the lower classes, you can expect that in the rest of Africa, the sentiment would probably be the same. I mean, there are a lot of reasons for this. For instance, the cost of owning an electric vehicle is quite high. Coupled with the fact that there is no existing infrastructure that can support that demand or that adoption of electronic vehicles. So I do think that the rest of Africa and South Africa are pretty much in the same category with regards to demand. Thank you.
Yeah, certainly I agree with you. A lack of infrastructure is going to definitely slow things down a bit. But now with this coming wave of electric vehicles, Simisola, how are fleet managers going to prepare for early adoption?
Yeah, so as Vuyi has mentioned and you and Asi has mentioned, there is currently a lack of infrastructure that is required for this electric vehicles, electric buses and mini taxis to be successful. So I would say, you know, how can fleet managers prepare for adoption of electric vehicles? They need to start now. We need to start planning for it right now. Fleet managers play a key role in the success of any operations. Now, in the success of electric vehicles, to start to prepare, to ensure the success, fleet managers need to engage local energy utility providers right now, as early as possible. The incorporation of charging infrastructures at depots or even at various terminals across the various cities is important. And the amount of time required for that to be achieved or made a reality should not be underestimated. Also, fleet managers need to incorporate these lacking charging infrastructures in future projects. So now we have, typically you have a plan or an outlook of public transportation investments or routes you're trying to start. So what locations, what routes are coming up? How do you incorporate such charging infrastructures in the depots, in the terminals along these various locations? Fleet managers need to understand the charging requirements, right? Well, how long is it gonna take? How would charging affect the operations, the schedules, the timetables, you know, the duty planning? How would the use of electric vehicles affect the existing operations? And they need to start planning for refleeting of the vehicles, as well as get an understanding of the running cost and start planning for that. Thank you.
Very, very true and very relevant. While we're still on that, Simisola, another follow-up question for you is, do you think fleet managers have to operate on a standardized policy and a standardized sort of a system so that they're able to implement across the nation, across the board?
Yes, I think so. I think standards are key. Standards help in appropriate evaluation. So there's a template for evaluation. There's a template to follow. And especially with the requirements of electric vehicles, you know, there's the partnership between the government, the private sector. So a lot goes into it. There has to be synergy. So there has to be that standard pattern to which fleet managers can implement electric vehicles.
Certainly, the synergy is very important. The government actually has a role to play in this early adoption process. Vuyisile, what commitment can they make to drive incentive to adopt electric buses or taxis? What are policies? What policies can they implement? What policies are beneficial for the operators?
Yeah, I think the current automotive sector works so efficiently and is actually so successful across Africa is because there's long-standing policy certainty and a lot of government support. I think in South Africa we have what they call the APDP, the Automotive Production and Development Program, which supports the production of the current fleet that we have. Now these policies and frameworks that are in place are adapted to, have not been adapted to incorporate electronic vehicle manufacturing or even adoption in the country. And as such, the lack of those policy directives on local EV manufacturing presents a huge void or institutional void that leads to non-adoption or even it does not create ground for conversations to take place in formal transport settings such as the taxi industry. So I think the fragmentation that exists in government is and corporate and where globally, global mobility is moving is quite evident. I think I'd be building pie in the sky if I were to say there is a one switch that government can implement that is going to create early adoption or even drive current adoption numbers. But I think advocacy and policy development and planning, and maybe even learning from the more developed economies such as the Nordic countries, would lot of work in spearheading adoption from a government perspective. And I'm saying this with caution, because I think a lot of our African countries have kind of suffered, specifically in public transport, where we try and adopt transport policies from more developed economies. But what I'm saying is that we can learn and then adapt for the African environment. Thank you.
No, you're certainly right there. Simi, Vuyi Sile has just mentioned that there's an institutional gap and a fragmentation between government and the private sector. In your opinion, what are the other challenges that are actually facing the fleet operators right now from just going fully electric? What is staggering this process?
Yes, so to add to what Vuyi has mentioned, I believe, actually understanding the electric vehicles themselves, there's a lot that is unknown. The technicality of electric vehicles tends to be overlooked, right? And considering this is public transportation based, so, you know, the direct impact of a lack of understanding of these electric vehicles would be experienced by the commuting public. So there needs to be sufficient time, with the way the drive is going, there has to be sufficient time taken to understand the electric vehicles. Also, there is the, I would speak for Lagos, Nigeria, the availability and affordability of electricity. That may be a huge challenge, taking into consideration the existing power generation and distribution challenges. So how affordable would the electricity be? And how would that cost then be transferred or not transferred to the commuting public? I think that these are some key challenges that would definitely affect fleet managers.
Yeah, you mentioned time, and unfortunately it's a luxury we don't have, as you I'm sure you would agree. So Vuyisile, what do you think, in your opinion, if we were to commit to something today, what is a realistic timeline for minibus taxis and buses to be fully electric across Africa? What is a realistic timeline?
I think context is always key when you try and make projections. And I think if we're looking at specifically, and I'm gonna ask Simi Zola to assist me with this one, with regards to a Nigerian perspective. But if you are looking at the South African context and the minibus taxi or the public transport landscape in South Africa, you'll find that there are even bigger challenges that kind of come before the electrification of the minibus taxi fleet. So just to look at some statistics. If you're looking at South African public transport, I think the 2019-2020 household travel survey reported that 66% of public transport commute in South Africa is done by minibus taxi. Now, in the taxi industry, we have a fleet of about the number that we have internally, and it's obviously it's not the number that is out, that is thrown around by a lot of people, is about 360,000 taxi vehicles that operate in South Africa on a daily basis. Now, these are both legal and illegal vehicles. Now, if you are thinking of electrifying that fleet, you would be looking at something between 20 to 30 years, and the first 10 being just advocacy and teaching the minibus taxi operators the benefits of moving to an electric vehicle. Now, in the backdrop of that, context matters again, because the minibus taxi industry is largely an informal industry. It is not formalized. Now, if you're looking at the bus sector in South Africa, it is very formal. It's subsidized by government, and it enjoys a lot of support even at municipal, provincial government, even at national government level. Now, the minibus taxi is operated by individual operators, 132,000 small business owners who buy and operate these taxis at risk with no support from government. Now, if you are going to be advocating for them to move to an electric vehicle, first of all, you're going to have to speak to their pocket. You're going to have to justify the cost-benefit analysis for them so that they can understand. Because if I were to approach the taxi industry currently now and talk about carbon emissions, they'd look at me and laugh at me, because that is not in their mindset currently. All they are thinking about is moving the South African public and doing so efficiently, using the cheapest possible vehicle that they can find, cheapest possible, most reliable vehicle that they can. I don't even know if that makes sense to you ladies. But if we are looking at the rest of Africa, I'm thinking maybe in by 2050, 2060, only then we are going to see a very good penetration of electronic vehicles. I don't know what you think, Simi.
I agree with you, Vuli. You've actually hit the nail on the head. They're actually very similar operating, parameters, as you have mentioned, right here in Nigeria. And currently, what we're faced with now is trying to implement a bus reform initiative as a way of not particularly formalizing the informal sector, but a way of transitioning them to more formalized operations so that there is an improved service provision to commuters, safety is improved. So they're like top, there are many top factors that we're looking to resolve right now, as well as infusing more additional buses so that people can be moved faster and transportation is more accessible. So right now we just introduced around 800 buses into the public transportation network here. And those are the key priorities right now. So going to start speaking to electrified of the existing fleet, because yes, just like we mentioned, the informal sector is predominant in public transportation over here. And they're mainly owned by private, single owner operators. So to actually start speaking about, a lot has to go into getting them to understand the importance of this and understand the vehicles themselves. There has to be a lot of time spent on that. And I think the 10 to 15 year timeline is sufficient time for that. And then, somewhere along the 11 to 15 year mark, we can begin testing, and then can now see after year 15, look at possibly pilot testing on some routes and maybe segregated BRT schemes before we can look at or talk about going fully electric.
Yeah, with the time that we have, really, we actually don't. I don't think we'll be, in ahead of the curve. I don't know what you guys think. It sounds like we're going to be a bit behind in terms of the rest of the world. But there also seems to be some sort of a mystery around the minibus taxi. And I think you, Vuyisile, picked up on it, sort of the unknown and, you know, if you were to go to a taxi driver right now and talk about a carbon emissions, obviously it's going to be a joke. So how do we demystify this notion of the unknown when it comes to electric vehicles?
Yeah. So I think, again, using the South African context, government in South Africa has allowed the taxi industry to grow and evolve on its own without government support. So it becomes quite difficult when government tries to introduce initiatives that are not in the priority list, like Simi mentioned, of those public transport operators. It becomes quite difficult to even start the conversation. Now, the South African taxi industry is a mystery. A lot of people think they know a lot about the taxi industry, but it's quite complex. And to try and understand the taxi industry, first of all, you'd need to differentiate between it being a formal or an informal business, first of all. Secondly, with informality comes a lot of blinds. So you don't know how they operate, where they operate, how much money they make. You just see a lot of taxis on the road. I think with the study that was conducted by the CSIR a couple of years ago, they discovered that there was even a mismatch in data with regards to the number of taxis that are operating on the road, to the number that taxi associations have, to the number that municipalities have, to the number that provincial registration authorities have. So if you are trying to understand an industry that basically remains secretive about its operation and its data from the outside, it becomes quite difficult. And that is why over time, the taxi industry has become protective of how they run their business, because that means that government and other authorities do not meddle. I think what has happened in South Africa is that the taxi industry has actually become the backbone of public transportation. And that now begs the question to government to say, how long are you going to allow this industry to continue operating basically at the periphery of regulation, while it provides such a critical service? And I think we see this anomaly throughout Africa, where the informal sector provides a very, very important and critical service to public transportation in developing countries.
That's certainly the case. And I'm sure it's also true for you, Simi Sola. How would you go about demystifying the notion of the unknown to informal sectors such as the minibus taxi industry?
So yes, it's very similar, as you said, it's pretty much the same. And I feel like the first thing Mazui has alluded to is getting an understanding of the informal sector's operations and having their numbers, you know, some form of regulation, or even, you know, pseudo regulation of informal sector, and then start knowledge sharing, knowledge transfer, you know, just a way for all stakeholders, actually, you know, for the informal sector, the government in itself, the private fleet managers, fleet operators, enlightenment and education of the public as well are all vital in demystifying the unknown in electric vehicles.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of collaboration that still needs to happen between government, fleet operators, as well as the private sector. But now with the current pressures, and I think you touched on this earlier, Simisola, but Vuyisile, can you see this playing out? Because South Africa has a lot of pressure on its electricity grid. So how do you think the city infrastructure will keep up with the extra charging load if the fleets were to be fully electric?
Yeah. So I'm going to refer to a study that was done by Green Cape. And I think they do quite a lot of work in the EV space with focus in South Africa. So in their recent market study, they referred to a 2015 report by CSIR, which suggested that by 2050, there should be a 50-50 split between electric vehicles and the normal combustion engines. And they then went on to say that 11% of energy consumption would, an 11% increase in energy consumption would be seen in a small city like Cape Town. Now, if you are looking at our electricity woes in the country, I think that puts an even bigger impediment in creating or driving adoption for electric vehicles. I certainly do not think that if the charging and the ownership of electric vehicles is uncoordinated in South Africa. For instance, if you're looking at the way the country is spread geographically, our electricity grid is going to struggle. We're just not going to be able to absorb that electricity demand with the current situation. Obviously, if you are looking at 2050, we are hoping that we are going to have other sources of energy other than that is provided by Eskom. But currently, no, it wouldn't be a good idea.
Yeah, I don't think it would either. Simisola, does this also resonate with you? I know with other African countries, they're actually experiencing a surplus in electricity supply. South Africa is quite unique in having a shortage. In Nigeria, is there a surplus in energy supply or a shortage?
Oh, there is definitely a shortage. the power supply remains inadequate right now. There's some statistics around 41% of the population, Nigerian population, are not connected to the power grid. So a lot still needs to be done towards optimizing electricity generation, transmission, and distribution. And I think all these need to be done before we can begin to talk about electrification or fully having full electric buses operational. But as you know, as we said, 2050, the hope is that the current situation is not the same. We would have surplus and electric vehicles would have been planned into considered in the expansion and the optimization of the electric grid.
Certainly. We've covered quite a lot in this discussion already. So I will ask you guys the title one more time. How far will Africa go in electrifying minibus, taxis, and buses? Vuyi, do you think we're going to exceed our own expectations, or do you think this is just another pipeline dream that we want to implement one day, but it's probably not possible?
Can I give you the diplomatic answer? It depends. I think it's going to be a while. but it's going to need a lot of integrated planning. First of all, at a city level, to all the way to national government level. I think it currently, with the current social economic conditions in Africa, it seems like it's a pipe dream. But if you're looking at the growth and the development that is taking place in countries such as Rwanda, then you can start thinking that it is possible. It is possible. It just requires that there is an integrated effort with policy planning, with OEMs, with operators of public transportation, individual vehicle owners. It's an integrated effort. It's not going to be an isolated event that is going to take place over time. We might see a slight shift towards electric vehicles, but I think in Africa, once something bites and once something makes sense, then growth is exponential thereafter. So I think the work, the groundwork that needs to be done properly for us to even say that there is, we are looking forward to even having that 50-50 split for electric vehicles by 2050.
Yeah, certainly. That was a very good diplomatic answer. Simisola, last question for you. What, if you could sum up everything we've discussed, what do you think are the opportunities that await for electrifying fleets?
You know, I've mentioned before, a multi-sectoral approach is required, right, to achieve electrification of fleets. Now, the opportunity there is that with the multi-sectoral approach towards planning this this goal, planning to meet this goal, there is an opportunity to, one, replace existing bus fleet with more efficient, more, you know, quote unquote, cleaner bus fleets. There's an opportunity to optimize and improve the electricity generation, transmission, and distribution on the electric grid. There's also more opportunities for private sector investments through like PPP partnerships as we work towards achieving this goal. So I think that I feel like there are tons of opportunities, and with the existing, once you start planning for it, right? That's the outlook, that's the goal. And working together, we would be able to achieve it, and we'll be able to maximize the opportunities that come up from the existing challenges.
Yeah, I'm actually very excited for what awaits us as Africa in general. Thank you so much, ladies. I'm sure the audience has gained valuable insights about electrifying buses and minibus taxis in Africa. Thank you once again to Simisola Elegba, Bus Systems Engineer at Lagos Metropolitan Transport Authority, and Vuyisile Majola, the current CEO of Ubunye Capital. And I, your host, Anazi Zotepiper, thank you for joining this podcast on Smarter Mobility Africa Digital.